This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, welcome.
Oh, that was
Dina Cato, welcome. Welcome to Women's Wednesday on Brother from Another. My sis, Dina, it is so good to see you. And we have so much to get into because a team that both of us covers is having a lot of drama. Big news came down from the NBA yesterday. Draymond Green will be suspended for game 3 of the first round playoff matchup between the Warriors and Kings. They issued a press release.
Excessive and over the top action. So Joe Dumars did come back and kind of explain himself on top of what the actual press release said. And it was very clear that it wasn't a situational suspension. It was almost reputational. So I'll read it a little quick. Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green has been suspended one game without pay for stepping on the chest of Sacramento Kings center Domantas Sabonis. It was announced today by Joe Dumars, executive vice president, head of basketball operations. Suspension was based in part on Green's history of unsportsmanlike acts. However, it continues. It says Green's actions were in response to Sabonis grabbing and holding Green's right ankle after falling to the floor. Green received a flagrant 2 and was ejected. Sabonis assessed a technical foul. So it is, after it continues to explain when it happened, obviously happened in game 2. Very, very important game 2 on the road. They ended up losing 114 to 106. It is also important to note when he was taken out of the game. 7 minutes remaining on the clock during crunch time. Warriors were fighting back. It was very tight. He was ejected out of the game. Warriors end up losing. Obviously, a lot of comments on that to add on a suspension on top of that.
Yes. Kurt Helin, welcome to the show from Pro Basketball Talk, my colleague. Let's just get right into it. Draymond Green, he is suspended. Kurt, were you surprised by this?
Yeah, I was. I mean, it wasn't just me, by the way. You see, like, Damian Lillard and all these guys came down. Like, I was surprised they went there in the playoffs when you've got – there's a system in place. You lack up fragrance. When he got suspended in the – I don't really want to relitigate the 2016 finals. But he had reached the point, right? He had racked up enough technicals and enough flagrance that one put him over the limit, and he's going to get an automatic suspension. This seems a little early for that. We can debate whether this was egregious enough for that. I really don't think it was. I'm curious what you two think about this. I think the fact that he went around and after it happened and played WWE heel, like running around the arena, hyping up the fans in front of Adam Silver, played a role. I'm not in the room. I'm just guessing that the way they took their time with this, Adam Silver had some say.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, a number of players you saw there, Festus's former teammate, Dame Lillard, speaking out, calling this out. We know Shaq has given his thoughts on it. A number of people. Yeah. And even, I believe, Shams, because there was a report that came out earlier in the day, and it said he's unlikely to be suspended, but a fine would be imposed. And so later when this came out, he also then tweeted like the Warriors were expecting a fine. I saw a number of media members who cover the Warriors, Marcus Thompson, Tim Kawakami, everyone seeming very shocked by this, not expecting this to be the result. So I was definitely surprised, but I mean, I think you're right. And that's what a lot of people are saying, that maybe the way that he behaved, you know, right after it happened, taunting the fans, that may have led to it. What do you think about that, Zena?
I think you removed the stomp. I mentioned this in my topics for the day. I think it was the Draymond show, not the stomp, that caused the NBA to say, all right, enough. The reason why I'll remove the stop out of conversation, and a lot of people on Twitter are trying to compare this to what Dylan Brooks did to Gary Payton II last year, where Gary Payton II missed a month from a broken elbow from the play that happened. This is different in the sense that, number one, Sabonis got up. Not only did he get up, he dunked, he chest bumped. Yes, I'm sure he's sore. Yes, of course, he's questionable for tomorrow. Personally, I think he's gonna play, but this is not something where he's out for a month, right? So it's not comparable in that regard. It's also not comparable in that in the same regard, because it wasn't as if this would have happened without the grabbing of the ankle, right? Dylan Brooks caught Gary Payton in midair as he was going up for a layup. There was no retaliation happening here. This is I won't say it was an equal act of between the two of them, but it definitely was. Without one, the other wouldn't have happened. So I think that's why you remove the stomp and the potential injury off the table. It 1,000%, in my opinion, had everything to do with the taunting of the crowd, the antics after the fact. The NBA wants to avoid another Malice at the Palace, right? They don't want fans to in an energized, and I was there. I was in that arena. It was incredibly energized. You had fans shaking cowbells behind Bob Myers' ears. I mean, fans were ready to do whatever they wanted to do in that environment, okay? And that's why you can't have, in the eyes of the NBA, in the eyes of Joe Dumars, who is a mentor to Draymond Green, right? So there's added layers to who came out and denounced this. You can't have a Draymond Green getting on chairs, calling fans certain words. We all can mouth what they were. And you just can't have that, right? And so from an NBA perspective, and so that, I think that's what it was. It was the possibility of creating such a charged environment. And the NBA was like, you know what? We've seen this before. Do I think it's fair? No, I do not think it's fair for him to have a reputational punitive, you know, suspension in this case. Because again, a suspension like this should be about the actual action. But I think the NBA was like, we've seen this in Draymond before. Let's put a stop to it now. I still do not think it was a fair, and I was surprised that he received the suspension.
Well, there you go. You kind of nailed it. I'm curious to know what you think, Kurt, because that was a lot of like what people were saying. This seems to be a reputation, offense. Why this happened? Because I mean, you had earlier in the season, the regular season, if you recall, Jokic with one of the Morris brothers, like.
Oh yeah,
that was intentional, and he took him out.
The shove,
mm-hmm. for like a large part of the season, and he got one game for that one game. And in an instance where Draymond Green did not initiate this, you know, for it to come back and be this kind of suspension. What did you think about some of the language that Dumars used, and that they're kind of relying on his reputation to justify this?
Yeah, it's funny. I love data. I love that touch. I love that there's cowbells in the building, like that Phil Jackson still is impacting Sacramento. This is a really old reference, but like, I feel like it's like a West Wing where like everybody got in a room and put together a press release. Like, hey, we're going to have about 15 voices in on this thing. So I don't know how much of that is Dumars and how much of that is like a crisis PR spin and all this stuff. Cause it's like, so I'm glad they had him come out today, but it's still, I don't know. I think you are really changing the course of a playoff series with this, potentially. I mean, the Warriors are home. They've obviously been much better at home, but if you're taking the best defender off a team going up against the best offense in the NBA that's down 2-0, you are impacting the series dramatically, and you know that. And to take that step on what's a borderline case to me at best, I mean, look, he was going to get in trouble. You can't use the guy as a human trampoline, man. But you can't, to me, like you said, it was in other cases where, like Dita said, 7 minutes of crunch time plus instigated by someone else. Those mitigating factors to me just do away with suspension. I am really surprised that the NBA went there and changed competitive balance that dramatically over this in the first round. I don't know. I was surprised that they went there, I guess, but I'm, like I said, I got a feeling that this was, I don't want to say ordered. I don't think Silver's the guy who just wins everybody over to his side, right? Like he's a consensus builder, but he's really, really good at it. Really good at it. It's not the David Stern world, but he's really good at getting everybody to see his things his way.
Well, yeah, you know, you mentioned the fact of like the Warriors, you know, at home they're, you know, better. But I mean, I was sort of looking at that, like how they fared this year when they play with Draymond, when they don't play with him, right? And so I think they win only about like 33. And look, this season is not the greatest season to look at, because if you just say without Draymond, you don't know who else was on the court. And they were missing a number of players this year. But I mean, you look at that with him, over 50%, close to 60%. And then it's like, a third without him. Yeah. So that's substantially different. And you know, Kurt, the other thing for me, because I know that this was something that none of the commissioners have ever liked for the NBA. I know Silver doesn't like it, but he hates the idea that people think like the NBA is sort of imposing their will and affecting the outcome of things, right? Yeah. Like in this situation. And so you're going to have two different incidences now. And even when you point out the stuff that happened with Draymond in 2016, and I also don't want to relitigate it, but the Warriors had a big issue with that then too, because during the game, the refs themselves didn't see fit to issue something. It was like a little dust up. And it's because they came back and they put the flagrant two, then he had amassed the amount of points. So even though it was an accumulation or one, whatever it was an accumulation of points. It's like you knew that by applying that flagrant that he would reach the limit. And then now it's like, you know, I mean, Joe Dumars, he actually said, I mean, in some of the, I was reading the back and forth between him and Woj, but they were like, what about the fact that the Warriors are down 2-0? And he's kind of like, oh, well. I mean, he didn't say, oh, well, but he's like, you know, you have to take those things into consideration. And so, but there's no way. You don't like the fact that people to this day say that you gave the Warriors a stimulus package. And now, you know, if this series goes a certain way, that's going to be the conversation that's going to linger around it.
And that's the thing. Like, this isn't, I didn't know the California, like, you know, the NBA operated like California, like the three offender rule, right? Like three strikes are gone. I like that. That was new, I think, for a lot of fans to see that these type of things accumulate in the eyes of the NBA outside of the actual point system that we know to be a thing, right? Who knew that this was kind of just like building in the mindsets of the executive, as opposed to you get a flagrant one during the regular season, it assesses a certain amount of points, it goes towards your seven that you get until you get a suspension, and then in the playoffs you get four, like, right? Like that's what most people are used to, and that's why this was so shocking, because yes, you get a flagrant two, that means you get 2 points assessed in the playoffs. You get four, that means, you know, Draymond's thinking about it a little bit, right? Next time that he's getting in a dust up or he's getting to it. And so I think that is the part where it almost feels like overstep by the NBA. It's like you already have rules in place for how to assess this and get players in check. So this feels like it's another little, you know, extracurricular to that. And that's unfortunate. And I agree, like, you know, Holly said yesterday, for all the people that aren't Warriors fans, for all the people that want to hate on the Warriors, if this series goes the Kings way, this will 1000% be part of the narrative. And you can't ignore it, or you can't excuse it. And that's unfair to the Kings. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, I give the Kings credit. They've been playing their butt off, but this will now always be a stain on them potentially being the Warriors.
It was in 2016 too, where I mean, I was at those games. LeBron played about the four best games I've ever seen any human being play in a basketball series, or the three games, to get them back into that thing. But I watched them after that game four and after that loss, and they were devastated. And when the news came, you could sense it in the locker room. You could sense it when they were at the podium. The news of that suspension came down, and there was a different energy around them. Suddenly, like, hey, we can get one, and then we're home, and then it's a game. Like, you could sense that they felt the path suddenly. And you're right, this is going to be now part of the narrative that shouldn't be there, because you're right, De'Aaron Fox and the Kings have been better. Frankly, let's be honest, better than we all thought, right? Like, better than we thought they'd be on this stage.
Yeah, you
1,000%.
You know, it was interesting. The parallels to 2016 are like uncanny. It really is, because the circumstances are slightly different. But because I was at game four in Cleveland in 2016, and I remember being at that game, Warriors go up 3-1, and I'm sitting pretty like, oh, they got this, you know? And then the news starts to come out, like, and like you see the post game, you know, the pressers, and it seems like the Cavaliers are like angling, like they're going to be pushing to the league for a Draymond suspension. And so after this year, after the game, I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. Not a big deal. Like, I thought maybe a fine, something, but I didn't think it was going to be a big deal, Kurt, because initially, right after the interview, Sabonis was on TNT. He did, like, you know, responded to questions. He's like, oh, it's just competition. And, you know, look at the crowd. Everyone's in it. Like, no issue. But then later, as the night continued, I see Mike Brown, and he says it'll be interesting to see what the NBA does. And then now I see Sabonis in an interview in the locker room, and he's like very solemn. There's no place for this. You know, there's no place for this. And I'm like, are they serious right now? Like, it was just such a heel turn in the tone. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe because I understand that Mike Brown is a coach now for a different team. But I was totally did not expect that from him. Did you think that they were going to like angle for a suspension?
I thought they might privately. And I what Mike Brown said didn't surprise me. The DeMontis thing was like, yeah, he's down there when it happened. Like, you know, there was a sniper on the grassy knoll somewhere. But it's the European soccer mindset, right? I am going to sell this now. And after the game, it's just competition, whatever. I don't hold it personally and take it off. Like you said, until he got to the locker room, it was a very different interview. And there was a very different tone, as if not to suggest that somebody would say, hey, we might have something here. But it was very different. What he said walking off the court and what he said, I don't know, I wasn't there 20 minutes later, whatever it was, in the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's no secret I'm a Warriors fan. And I just want to make this one thing clear, because, you know, I am not here to kind of, I think Draymond just needs to be able to exhibit better decision making. You know, he does. And at the same time, in the heat of the moment and in the heat of competition, and if someone's holding my leg, you know, I don't know how I would have reacted. So, but I get that because of his prior actions, it's going to be taken against him. And being that he has cost this team and hurt this team on more than one occasion, you would want him to hopefully just exhibit some better decision making. But with that being said, I'm not like trying to condone his actions, but I just think that the fact that Sabonis initiated it is just totally being overlooked. It wasn't even upgraded to a flagrant for him. I just feel like that's just being overlooked, and that part doesn't sit right with me. But I just want to make it clear that there are a number of like people who are around the Warriors who don't like what Draymond did. I mean, publicly, they had to somewhat support and defend him. So it's not everyone making excuse making for him, but two things can be true. The league can still have overstepped and went too far, and Draymond can also be wrong, right? And Sabonis is not, you know, free innocent. Of any, yes, in this.
Go ahead, Kurt.
No, no, go ahead.
My thing for all the fans and, you know, people of other teams being like, are the Warriors fans delusional? Did you not see what happened? Like, no. We're not completely saying that that was the right response. We're not saying that, you know, the antics afterwards were excusable. We're not saying any of that. We're saying to look at the entire situation, to look at all the contextual clues. And at the end of the day, anyone that is trying to compare this to when someone was egregiously hurt, that's not true. And you know that's not true. For someone trying to compare this to, oh, this would have happened in any point of any the season, sure. But this is the playoffs when the Warriors are down 0-2. These are different contextual circumstances. And so that we're not delusional. We're just trying to be pragmatic in the way that we assess this.
Kurt, you were going to say something before.
No, it's just, it's not a Tuesday night in Orlando, right? Like this is different. And this is when the NBA, and by the way, all those fine television partners are making their money. This is when the ratings are up. This is when people are tuning in. I don't have a dog in this race. I'm not a fan of either team necessarily. Well, look, man, if I have to go somewhere for the finals and I have to choose between San Francisco and Sacramento, that's a different discussion. But if
fair.
But I want good competition, and Warriors not having their best defender against the best offense in the NBA lessens that competition. It changes that dynamic. And I think if you're the NBA and you're going to change that dynamic at the most important time of year, you're right. Egregious is a great word. It had better be so over the top that you don't have a choice. And I just don't think Draymond's actions in total, we love it when he does that stuff. Not the stepping part, the after, right? Like the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's part of the show, man. That's just
it is.
He give him some WWE entrance move music. Let's have some fun with this stuff.
Kurt, before we let you go.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to know, do you think the injury to Sabonis played a role? And I'm saying it like that because I mean he looks pretty okay to me, and they're saying he's questionable, but I think he's going to come back and play. And also, should what happens to the player matter? As in, like, when we brought up the Jokic example earlier, and it's like, the Morris was out for, like, a large part of the season, where Sabonis is likely going to play.
Yeah, I think it matters a little. I'm not a fan of the, oh, you've got to be out as long as that guy. Because, I mean, like you said, Morris was out 40 games for a shove. Like, it was over the top. He should have been suspended more than a game, but there's a line there. I do think the injury matters to a degree if you're taking a player. If Gary Payton's missing, weeks, as I remember, with the elbow last year. But this isn't that. Like you said, by the way, when Shaq said that last night, I'm like, thank God Shaq didn't step on somebody's chest, man. That would have just been. But Draymond, this was worthy of, I'll even live with the ejection, but the suspension is over the top to me.
Agree. Kurt Helin, thank you so much as always for joining us. Okay. We'll see what happens.
Take care. Thanks for having me in on Women's Wednesday, man.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Thanks for coming.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Is it Wiggins coming to life? Is it Jordan Poole coming to life defensively or offensively or in some capacity at all?
I mean, Jordan Poole, I have no hope for him. He's not a good basketball player, and at this point he's getting benched in the second half for good reason.
Cena. Mm-hmm. I saw your face, and I was like, I didn't like those comments. Like, while I would have been interested to hear what Kevin O'Connor was going to say about what the Warriors can try to do in this series. Hold up, full stop. Jordan Poole is not a good basketball player. I have a problem with that statement for two reasons. One, just like, who are you to call this, to say this man is not a good basketball player? Like, who are you? Like, what level of basketball have you played? Have you done to, like, do you know what it takes to get to the NBA? So it's just the audacity in the statement. But then the second thing is, look at what he's done. Like, he didn't get the contract that he got for no reason. You know, look at these numbers that he's putting up coming off the bench, I might add. Okay. Close to 20 points, 20 points this year. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Girl. Okay. Let's get into it. Okay. Because the thing about this comment is, all right, Kevin O'Connor, go in a room with Bob Meyer and tell him that. Because Bob Myers is the person that made that contract happen. So you telling me that Bob Myers, the person that has been able to do what he's been able to do with the Golden State Warriors and their dynastic run, that he can't assess good basketball players? Go in the room with his entire team and you tell them that. Go in the room with Joe Lacob and Peter Guber. You go in the room and you tell them that. Go in the room with Steve Kerr, right? Okay, even if you don't want to go in that room, because you probably don't. Because they're probably going to tell you about yourself. And they're probably going to tell you what Klay Thompson told the media the other day. It's kind of hard to hear what a good shot or a bad shot or what a good basketball player is or a bad basketball player is from someone who's never played the game. Because I don't know that Kevin O'Connor has ever played in the NBA. Silence. So that being said, I'm very curious as to what you would say to all the teams that he has scored 20 or more points on. Right?
Yeah.
Let's go talk to them. Let's go talk to Toronto, who he put 43 points on in December.
Yeah.
Right? Let's go talk to Portland, where he's dropped 41 and 38.
Exactly.
I'm sure. Do you want to talk to that whole roster that he's not a good basketball player? I think there's sometimes, especially with the media, it's so fascinating some of the like crazy takes that can happen from people who have never played the game. And people who write off players so quickly. Poole, like Jordan Poole said this a few weeks right before the playoffs started. He was like, I think he had scored, I don't know, 30-something points.
Right.
Went off again. Poole party went off again. And he told NBC Sports Bay Area, he's like, all right, so y'all see what I can do, right?
Right.
So let's put some respect on my name. Let's stop playing around and not acting like we don't know what I'm capable of. And it's true. Sure, Jordan Poole has had some streaky games. He has had some games where he's had a lot of turnovers. He's had some games where he hasn't shot well. He's had some games where his shot selection was questionable. But to say he's not a good basketball player, there's so many people in front with that same with that comment. I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't sit well with me. And can we first remember that Jordan Poole is one, not yet even making the money that everyone is complaining about. So that begins next year. So he's only making a few million dollars, and he's giving you the amount, 20 points. He's averaging 20 points, okay? Last year, led the league in free throws, right? Percentage, okay?
Beat his teammate, Steph.
Was in the conversation for sixth man of the year, but maybe because of the games and he was in and out of the starting lineup, he couldn't really, you know, meet the criteria. So in one season, he's gone from that to a good basketball player. I didn't hear anyone calling his contract crazy this summer when he got it, right? And so I just, you know, this reminds me of the whole Andrew Wiggins thing, you know, and I remember because I think Nick Wright got on TV and said, Andrew Wiggins is not a good basketball player. And Matt Barnes was in his ass. Like, he was like on Twitter, like, how are you going to say a dude? Like, people think it's really easy to just get 20 in the NBA. Yeah. Do you see what Andrew Wiggins just came back and did after not being there for months?
Listen, over 26 games.
Listen.
26
Zena,
games missed. Yeah.
I don't work out for like, you know, 2 weeks and I'm dying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like for you to take these like and listen, because especially if you follow me on Twitter, y'all know I be talking all kinds of ish. Right. But
say it.
when I'm saying things about players, it's like, because I don't like them. It's because of competition. So I'm just like, oh, they're this, they're that. I name call. And some people may not like that, but I'm not doing it. I'm doing it in the spirit of like a fan. Like, I don't like this player. Mm-hmm. I don't like this. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone knows I'm not the biggest Chris Paul fan, not the biggest Kevin Durant fan, but I would never fix my mouth to say Chris Paul isn't a great, amazing player and one of the best point guards of all time. Like, what are we doing? So I thought it was like ridiculous. And it really bugged me. It really irked me when I saw that he said this. So I just want to touch on it real quick.
1,000%. And this is the perfect setup for what we're going to talk about next, which is who can say these things, a.k.a. the other players within the league. And it was really cool to see The Athletic actually did a poll asking these types of questions. Who's the best player? Who's the most underrated? Who's the most overrated? Who's the league's MVP? Who's the best player of all time? And it was really interesting to get these questions answered by the league's players, because those are the people that are, you know, qualified to say that. But the interesting one that hit me was most overrated.
Yeah.
Trae Young. That's the most individual. There was some others that had about 31% within the other categories. But Trae Young got 14% of the vote as most overrated. Now, it's interesting that this headline comes out right now, because we know Trae Young's struggling right now, right? He's been struggling his last two playoff appearances. He's just not putting up the numbers that we're seeing in the regular season. But it was fascinating, because I'm now thinking, like, what does overrated mean? What constitutes being overrated? Is it the media attention? Is it the amount of... A power that you get within a program, right? Within an organization to build around you. Because, you know, that usually sometimes is the thing where a star player gets to dictate who your next head coach is or who gets to be brought around you. What constitutes overrated in the minds of the athletes? I'm very, very curious. Is it jersey sales, right? Is it the contract size? And so seeing that was kind of like, I mean, I know he's a villain for particularly in New York. I know that. But I was a little surprised to see that he was voted, or he was the most, had double the most amount of individual votes. So I don't know. What do you think is overrated, Nat?
I mean, listen, I've done my fair share of criticizing of Trae Young. Not an extreme, but I usually get sort of triggered and annoyed when he's brought up in conversations with Stephen Curry. So usually... My reactions are about just dispelling that myth and why he's not in that category of player. Not yet. We don't know what he can be. Look, Trae is still, to me, also relatively young in his career. Yes, he's gone to the playoffs. He's not like, you know, a young player, but he's still younger in his career trajectory. And there's still room for him to evolve and improve his game. I think there's some things he probably does need to change. Think about how much he holds onto the ball. Maybe change his shot selection with respect to the three, because it's not that he shouldn't shoot them, but maybe the number and the amount he's shooting may be a little too many, right? And so those are things over time he has to refine his game. But we know that he's an ultra-talented player. We know that he's an incredible passer. And it just may be one of those years. Players have down years. I mean, look, Steph went through the worst shooting slump of his career last season, and he's a seasoned vet. So, I mean, I found it funny. It was good for Twitter fodder. Oh, they think Trae Young is overrated. But I do always just find it curious to see what the players think. The one other thing to me from that, which was really notable, was Embiid was their MVP. And only notable because
52%.
Yes, I think outside of, like, his teammates, meaning Jokic's teammates, for the most part, there might be, like, a few outliers. But all the players that I've seen all seem to be with Embiid being the, you know, MVP. And I just think it's notable that from the players' perspective, you know, that's what they're saying. So, I like the poll. I always think those are pretty cool.
I do. I love the fact that also, because it's anonymous, you're getting true responses. Right. I mean, even we were just talking about the Draymond situation. You're always going to have your teammates back in public. Right. And so being able to see the true mindset of people as they're evaluating who's the most overrated, who's the most underrated, who's the MVP of the league. That's cool to be able to see. OK. All right. And also it must feel good for the players. I mean, maybe not for Trae Young, but like, for example, Jrue Holiday getting the most underrated, being the top voted there, and Embiid being voted for MVP. That's so good to like look around and be like, all right, y'all put some respect on my name. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I'm a fan of these player polls. I hope we get them more throughout the season. I want to have season one. I want one right before playoffs. I want one at the end. Preseason ones, I think those are the most interesting ones because they will influence how we think about players as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, we were just talking about the MVP or probably soon to be MVP, Joel Embiid, who is in the East. But I got to tell you right now, these playoffs in the East, Zena, for me, they are not doing anything. Like, I'm just like, come on now. To me, I just think this still proves that the West remains, you know, supreme.
Yeah.
The ratings even show it. The ratings are showing that, you know, like the ratings are high right now for the playoffs. But they support what I think you and I both think, which is like the West is just better. Like the ratings from have all been the West games, right? So it's been Warriors Kings, which was the highest rated series, which then also just makes their decision. Oh, we're not going to go back there to suspend Draymond.
Just
crazy. Yeah. But also like, you know, it's the Lakers series and it's also, it's also the Suns series, right? Look at the matchups now.
Yep.
I mean, look at these, you know? So it is,
it's entertaining. And the thing about it is the West right now has more storylines between these matchups, right? When you look at the Clippers versus the Suns, you think about KD and Westbrook, you think about Kawhi and his comeback. Who's the best player of all time, Kawhi or KD, or not of all time, but of right now, right? The most, that matchup. And I am just loving all of the excitement and energy around trying to see these storylines play out on the court. You look at a De'Aaron Fox, clutch player of the year, and he is showing that. I mean, in case you had any reservations around if he deserved that, he's been showing that in the last two games. And so I definitely think that right now the West is so much more entertaining.
Of course.
Not only from a game perspective, but because there's all these underlying storylines to it. And I mean, yeah, we won't rehash it, but it is why this whole Warriors-Kings situation and the suspension makes it even more dramatic, makes it even more hyped up. And let's just be real. I know the league, you know, suspended Draymond for the antics, probably more so than the actual stomp. That's how I feel. But those antics get them ratings.
Yeah.
Right. Those antics make people tune in. And guess what? They made people tune in then, and they're going to definitely make them tune in on Thursday.
Yeah.
And so at some point we have to be careful around, you know, the politics of how to compose yourself as an NBA player.
Yes.
Because let's just be real. We know those antics are exactly what the NBA needs in terms of getting people to tune in live.
Yeah, like we said, again, Warriors, the best rated series. And look, Thursday is going to be a big deal. And without Dre, also, like, we are going to be tuning in for the clutch player of the year. De'Aaron Fox has been great in that series. And it's going to be, you know, time for Steph Curry to step up. You know, De'Aaron Fox versus Steph Curry. I mean, that's what that's going to be about Thursday. The Draymond Green storyline will be hanging over it. But, I mean, you just got to – I just got to give a shout-out to Fox real quick because, you know, he is a player who I've always liked. Really, really just one of my faves in the league. And so it's good. This inaugural award, he was able to win it. And I think that's pretty cool. And he's been it's continued into the postseason. And sometimes those things, though the Warriors players win – or the things they do in the regular season don't carry over, but in this case it did. So I am really looking forward to that. Look, I know we have company to get to, but one other thing that I just want to just say very quickly, I don't appreciate the NBA scheduling for these playoffs, okay? Like, it is just very favorable to a certain team in LA. You know what I'm saying? Like, how is it that the Lakers have yet to play their second game? How is that possible? You know? Yeah, and I mean, I think our next guest who we're about to bring on and who covers the Miami Heat, they haven't played their second game yet either, but like, they just have a large amount of time in between games. Whereas like the Suns have off like one night in between like several of their games.
Exactly.
I mean, look at these two schedules between like the Suns and the Clippers versus the Lakers and
there's
the Grizzlies.
3 days. 3 days on the left, guys. 419 to 422 versus 2 days. It's every other night. It's not until game five that the Suns actually get 3 days until their next game. So it's only 2 days in between versus three a few times for the Lakers. And it's not even just scheduling for the fact of the players getting a little bit more rest, but it's also just like timing. I mean, even yesterday, there were two Eastern Conference games happening at the same time. From a fan perspective, this isn't the NCAAs where they get, you know, YouTube gives you the breakdown or whatever, like the four games at once. Like, you have to flip back and forth. Then how late the game was on Sunday.
Yes, and that's what Charles Barkley was upset about. But, you know, they do usually do the doubling, but they don't normally put, like, two premier games on. And you're going to have Suns and Warriors within a half an hour apart on Thursday, two of the top rated series right now. I don't know what was being thought of for this schedule, but just not very good. Yep. So, you know what, let's get to our company. Cannot wait to talk to her. Listen, NBA, get it together. Suspensions, bad schedules, get your act together, NBA.
Yes.
We will be right back.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
That always is really challenging for competitors when you can't be out there with your team. And you know, I feel for him. I do. Because I saw that look in his eye.
Being in the playoffs, you know, you work so hard and all year to be in this moment. And I feel like I had some things to prove this postseason. So it was a tough moment. You know, I still can't believe it. It'll probably sink in, you know, tomorrow night when I can't suit up. So stay positive and I'll be back.
Ah, welcome, Siobhan Beslow, one of my faves from the Miami Heat beat. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Okay, great. There you go. Thank you.
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. It was looking like for a minute. Okay, we do have you. It's looking for a minute like you were frozen, but okay, you're good. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you. I wanted to have you on because we got some news about the fact that Giannis will now maybe be doubtful or, you know, may not be playing in this game. You guys, and I'm saying you guys because you covered the Miami Heat for the Miami Heat beat, you know, have lost Tyler Hero. The Heat took game one. And so there's just a lot going on in your series. Injuries are for sure going to impact it. But I want to know, like, your thoughts on the series to this point. And how these injuries affect it. Like, you know, I mean, we have to call it what it is. I mean, Giannis is going to be out, but you guys also lost like a key piece. So what are you seeing right now for this game tonight that you will be at?
So the last that I heard, he was upgraded from doubtful to questionable, which, you know, that's good for them. Fell on his back, fell really hard. He was able to play like the next couple of minutes, and he played a little bit in the second quarter. I'm sure it got stiff, but he's had two whole days to, you know, rest, to get some treatment, to ice, to get some stim, get some heat, just do whatever, you know, he needs to do to be back on the floor. And you know, Reggie Miller made the comment about Tyler Hero being a bigger loss for Miami than Giannis being out. And a lot of people felt like a lot of ways about it. And, you know, I understand on the surface, you think, you know, Giannis, that guy, him being out is huge for Milwaukee. And it is, but it's much more likely that Giannis returns for Milwaukee than Tyler does for Miami. And Miami all season long, we've had such a slim margin of error. We've needed every ounce of Tyler's, you know, 20-point average to even get to where we are. And so, yeah, Giannis, you know, MVP, the guy that he is, him being out is a big thing. But Milwaukee has shown themselves better capable of handling themselves with Giannis out this season. I think they're 11-8 without him, and Miami is 7-8 without Tyler. And so that's big. We have some pieces on the bench who should be able to fill some of those holes. But again, we've been inconsistent in showing it. So I'm sure Giannis will be back, or will at least push to be in game two. But Tyler being gone for, you know, the foreseeable future for us is big.
Yeah, he mentioned that he regretted maybe diving for that ball. And I thought that was interesting that he said that, because you always kind of hear players talk and it's just like, especially in like the playoffs, it's like they're just going to go for it. And you can't be if you're thinking about risking injury or all of that, then that's problematic. Yeah. You're not playing your best. And so I'm just curious your thoughts on his remark. And are you concerned going forward about how he may be when he does return?
I mean, I don't see him returning our playoff stretch because I don't love Miami.
No, I just meant like in the future. Sorry.
Yeah. I know. I think he recovers okay. I think, you know, hindsight is 20/20. So, of course, probably now he regrets the dive. But I'm not going to knock him for his heart. I'm not going to knock him for his hustle. We had the shot clock in our favor, so maybe he didn't need to in that particular moment, but I'm not going to find fault with him. He was playing really well before he had his juice going, and so I can understand, like, being a competitor and diving on the floor for loose balls. It's the playoffs. It's what you're supposed to do. So that was a very freakish injury. It just sucks, though, now that he hasn't been healthy for us the last couple of playoffs, but this one I can't fault him for at all, really.
Siobhan, when he said that he had some things to prove this postseason, can you elaborate on what you think he meant by that?
Well, so he was moved into the starting lineup this season from the bench. He won Sixth Man of the Year last year. And in the beginning of the season, we had a lot of kind of turmoil with just some reshuffling of the lineups, with him and Caleb moving to the starters. And, you know, he's averaged 20 throughout the season. And, you know, that's been cute. That's been fine. But like I said a little bit earlier, he hasn't been able to be available for us this playoff now, last season, when I've been a proponent of him and the idea that he would have helped us in the Boston series with his game, his ability to get into the mid-range and kind of pick apart some of those the pockets in Boston's drop defense. And so he's aware that people have expectations of him. And, you know, what we do in the regular season, it matters. You know, all the seeding and all that stuff matters. But this is a time of year where, you know, you need your horses, you need your guys. And he, I think he is correct in his understanding that he did have something to kind of show up and improve in this playoffs. And it is unfortunate that he, you know, probably won't be able to.
What are you thinking is the outcome for this series? I mean, it seems like you believe Giannis at some point will be back. So what's your, if you do a prediction, what is your prediction right now? What are you thinking?
So I've been in a little sneaky side chat, and I have had Miami in six quietly. It's not so quiet anymore. It's not quiet anymore at all. But we played Milwaukee tough over the years, and if there's any team that I think we get up for, it's them and, you know, like the Bostons. And so maybe seven, but I have faith. I have faith in playoff Jimmy. I have faith in that Bam will continue to find places to be aggressive because he's needed, and that the rest of the guys will kind of pick up some of Tyler's slack. So I'm going to stay with my guys in six, seven tops, but, you know, I have us winning, and that may be a little bit of homerism, but I'll take it.
I hear you. You know, with all the injuries, sort of clouding, I guess, this series. There was a lot of conversation because Giannis was one of two players that got injured because of a charge call. And you had a whole thread and you had a lot of commentary on that. And so I'm just, you know, I would love to like show all of the thread, but you're here, so I don't need to do that. But I would like to know, I know where you stand, but you're against getting rid of the charge altogether. Here you explain, you know, outlaw undercutting an airborne player. But what you, it doesn't sound like you think we should get rid of it. So could you just tell us why?
No, like, come on. We, at some point, we have to allow some room for defense to play defense. You can't hand check anymore. They're already finicky with some of the touch stuff. And, you know, I want people to be a little bit more precise in their language. The undercutting of airborne players is where people have a problem. The stepping beneath a guy who's already taken off is where we have a problem. But a charge can occur at any point on the floor. Like if I'm defending and I'm hedging a screen, you run into me, that's a charge. If I'm in the post, you lower your shoulder, that's a charge. And so to remove the charge altogether would be taking away a whole avenue of defense or of possible defense for players. And at that point, we like, what are we doing? Like we can't pretend then that there's any space to play defense. Unless if you take out the charge, then you then also, in my opinion, have to take out the blocking and the hip riding. Or you have to put the hand check back in, because what means then do I have to play defense?
Okay.
I'm happy you said that, because you're right. It would open up a Pandora's box of what physicality means on defense and how do you play, right? Like, and referees, I love the way you put it in your thread too, being specific about your words and how you're assessing this, and also being specific about how you referee the game. And how you're looking and evaluating these different things. I 1000% agree. And, you know, the people that are calling for that to be taken out are probably reacting to these injuries, right?
It's and a lot of overreaction. Like,
well, what's new? What's new? What's new for NBA fans?
All three of them, Giannis, Joel, and Ja, like all three of them tried to dunk on a defender who was already there. Giannis and Joel, y'all are 7 feet tall. Like, all three of them had other options than to continue their path of getting the charge.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to get a couple quick predictions from you very quickly in the West, and also quick take. Suns, Clippers, who you got in that one, and who's the best player in that series, KD or Kawhi? Or is it someone else?
Or someone else. Okay, so I think I have that going 7. I want to lean Phoenix, I do, but I think I'm going to lean Clippers. Kawhi might be the best player in that series at the moment. Preference for me, I just prefer Kevin's game. I prefer his body. I prefer, you know, some of Kevin's intangibles. But Kawhi is what, averaging, 34.5. He's playing fantastic defense. He locked Kevin up one time. Went coast to coast, dunked it, and handed it right back to him.
And like, that's cool.
So, and handed it back. Like, here you go.
Yeah. Here you go. I'm done now.
This is
thank you, my brother.
But yeah, done here.
I agree with you. I don't know why people.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Clippers.
I did not know why people were considering the Suns like to be like, oh, it would be like an upset. So I agree with you. We're going to stop there, you know, because I don't want to cut you short. Thank you so much, Siobhan, for being on. We got to get you back on to talk more. All right. Yeah. My hoopstress, my girl.
Good to meet you.
Have fun tonight.
Thank you.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Zena, it has been so such a fun time having you on with me today. Yay. Thank you for joining me on this Women's Wednesday. Hey guys, look who's on the screen though besides us. Just want to let you know we are going to be having cast members from Peacock's Bel-Air, Adrian Holmes, aka Philip Banks, Uncle Phil, and also Jordan L. Jones, Jazz. You know, if you're not familiar with this show, you should get into it. It's going to be really good. It is really good, and it's going to be a great conversation tomorrow. So I'm so excited to have them on, especially because of this whole love story going on between him and Hillary's character, Coco Jones. Mm. Have a great day, guys. Zena, love you. Appreciate you, sis.
Love you always, sis.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.